So, getting back to this week's version of the Beis Ashir, we're still on, shockingly, on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, 27b. Just to review quickly, last time we discussed the Mishnah about a dead animal being Moksan, an animal which dies on Yom Tov, as well as Chala, which became Tameh. What the mukta status of that is. It is mukta according to the Mishnah. The question is, why from each element of it is it mukta? It can't be eaten because it's tameh, yes. What about burning it on Yom Tov? And what about perhaps doing something else? We focused on Rashi last time, who said it was even prohibited to feed it to a person's animal due to, in Rashi's words, that Rashi had basically said in some way that there is some gezeira sakasuf relating to burning kachim on Yom Tov. Therefore, and I will try to keep shorter sentences from here in, that when it comes to burning kachim on Yom Tov, that's certainly forbidden. We have a pasuk that says ba'eshi saraif, and similarly, truma tameya, which will be burnt, as well as any method of disposing of it whatsoever, says Rashi, there's a certain achshave, it says, Rachmana achshava lahav arasan, the Torah considers their destruction. Therefore, hilkach malachahi, it is a malacha because of what the pasuk says. We explored what Rashi meant by that, and how this was exactly going to work. We had approach number one from various Rishonim, was that it's considered to fall under the malacha of havara and therefore prohibited. Now that was problematic, because as we noted, Rashi himself holds that Havara is completely permitted on Yom Tov due to Mitoch. And if that's the case, you know, how could you possibly say that it would be prohibited to burn this if it's always prohibited to light a fire and burn whatever you want? Approach number two that we suggested last time, which was in many Achron, was that the Torah created a new Malacha, Malacha number 40 as we called it, called Burning Kodshim, or Burning Kodshim and Truma Tmeah. And it's considered a malacha because the Torah gave it status. On the other hand, we had a big problem with that in saying that, what do you mean, the Torah gives it status? So if the Torah, anything the Torah says is a mitzvah is now prohibited to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. For example, eating korbanos so they don't become nosar, leftovers, is also a mitzvah. Does that mean it's aser to eat meat from korbanos on Yom Tov? Boy, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So we suggested somewhat of a hybrid approach, namely that it's a subcategory within the malacha of Havara. It's not a brand new malacha of, you know, something that we've never heard of before. But on the other hand, that solves the issue that we had with saying that it was completely mutter, because it's a subcategory, it can't be included in the rule of mitoch that we apply to Havara, and therefore even Rashi would say that this type of Havara that's taking place when you're burning either Kachim or Tmeim or Truma Tmeya, that would still be prohibited on Yom Tov, despite the fact that Rashi's mitoch is very far-reaching. It wouldn't apply to this subcategory of Havara. And that's what we talked about last week. Let's start with Tosfos.
Sure. Sorry, I thought about that approach.
Mm-hmm.
If you go by Hutranami Litzorah, Hutranami Lolitzorah, then this would be an exception to that rule.
Correct.
And that way, what you're saying sort of makes a lot more sense than a separate category.
Yes.
So you have the third category in Hutranami Litzorah, Hutranami Lolitzorah.
Yes.
This is Litzorah, but not Lachila.
Okay. Yeah, I think I get that. So yeah, I mean, it still needs a lot of consideration. I'm still pretty convinced that this is something that these Rishonim and Acharonim were working with a certain assumption of. Whether it's exactly formulated the way we formulated it or not is probably irrelevant. But the point is, this is really, I think, the way to explain how Rashi says this magical achshaveh of the Torah, that the fact that the Torah says burning kodshim is called ba'eshi saraif, therefore it's a malacha, is that has to be working within the malacha of Havara to some extent, but also must be distinct from your regular malacha of Havara. And that's really where we ended up last time. I wanted to focus a little bit on Tosfos today to begin with. I don't think we have to go through the whole Tosfos, because what I want to focus on today is what you have at the top of your source sheets, and you can grab source sheets from here. There's a slight change in the selection from Temura, so if you want to take one from here, you're welcome to. But what we wrote about is Bir Machlokas Rashi v'Tosfos Minyan Ha'achalas Truma Tmeya Lebehema Afilu B'chol. One of the points of contention that we'll see in Tosfos is whether or not you can ever give Truma Tmeya to your dog, Rashi's working out how you can't do that on Yom Tov, Tosfos is going to be convinced that that's not happening. So Pirush Rashi, if we look, if we begin Tosfos right at the top of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, inside the Gemara, about challah which should become tummy, that it should not be moved from its place. Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains, Dilamai Chazi, what's it useful for? What's it fit for? Ila achila hatmeahi. If you're going to tell me the person can eat it, no, they can't, it's tummy. Ila hasaka tachas tavshilo, if you want to burn it under your cooked item while you're cooking, throw it in the oven, ain't sorfen kachim yom tov. You can't burn kachim on yom tov. Included in this would be truma tmeyan challah. Vechi teman, if you're going to say aritena lifnei kalbo, and if you're going to say, just put it in front of your dog and let your dog eat it for supper. Kedamrina bipsachim gabi trumas chametz. As we say about trumas chametz, umaritza lifnei kalbo, that you can do that. Why can't you do that? So says Tosfos Yishlomar Dinasiel Kalvo Afagav Dein Kam Shum Tarach Zehu Biura Ochshem Shein Sorfin Kach In Mivarin Derachman Achshev Elahavaraso. So what he says Yishlomar Dinasiel Kalvo, giving it to his dog Afagav Dein Kam Shum Tarach, even though there's no effort involved in this, Zehu Biuro, this is the way that you're disposing of your challah. Ochshem Shein Sorfin, and just as you can't burn the challah, Kach ein mivarin, so too you can't destroy it in any fashion. Dirachmana achshevela havaraso, as we said in Rashi, which is, he's still quoting in this point, that the Torah considered his destruction here. Af al gav dehavi litzorach, even though it's litzorach k'da'amar, as we said, ein madlikin v'shemen streifa b'yom tov, that one may not light with shemen streifa on yom tov. V'af al pi shehu tzorach yom tov lahadlik litzorach achila. And even though that it is a tzorach yom tov to light the candles, like this beautiful chandelier, so you can eat around this table that we're learning at, doesn't matter. Vikasha says Tosfos, dehad de'in sorfin kachin b'yom tov, this that we do not burn kachim on yom tov, hainu taima, the reason is, mishum torach malacha, la'asos esh v'la'asok b'sreif baso. Tosfos disagree with Rashi, and they say the reason why you can't burn these kachim on yom tov is because of the effort involved in building the fire and all of the associated issues, which we discussed last time in Shir, how this question is not the sharpest, especially on Rashi. In fact, we had one of the Mefarshim, the Megine Shlomo, say he can't believe that Tosfos would actually ask such a question. But Aval Hacha, he says, Kishenosin Hachala Lifnei Kalba, when here, when you're putting it in front of your Kelev, in front of your dog, Ein Kan Shum Tarach Malacha. Tosfos notices there's not going to be any tircha there, so it wouldn't be, according to Tosfos's Hilchos Yom Tov logic, and there wouldn't be any issue with extending this Truma Tmeya, Kachim Tmeya, and whatever it is in front, well, Kachim Tmeya not, but Truma Tmeya and Chala Tmeya in front of your dog on Yom Tov. Lakach Nirali, Lachin Nirali, therefore, says Tosfos, it seems to me, Di Lakach Ein Nesina Lifnei Kalbo, you cannot put it in front of your dog. Why? And here's the important point. Mishum de mitzvasa bisreifa. Because when it comes to burning challah, when it comes to burning truma tmeya, you've got to burn it. The mitzvah is to burn it, not to put it in front of your dog, not to get rid of it in any other way. And here are Tosfos's two sugyas that he quotes to support this. Right? Tosfos is going to bring in two sort of parallel discussions in the Gemara. So one, Kedamar b'Shabbos, Kishem shemitzvah listrof ha-kodshim shenitmiu, just as it is a mitzvah to burn kodshim, which became tame, kach mitzvah listrof es ha-truma shenitmeis. So too, say Tosfos, there is an equivalent mitzvah, and this is quoting from the Gemara in Shabbos, which we're going to see, it is so too a similar mitzvah to burn truma, which became tame. Meaning, just like you have to burn kodshim tmeim, you have to burn truma tmeya. There's no alternate option of destroying it in another fashion. Aval gabi trumas chametz dika'amar maritza lifnei kalbo. So ask Tosfos, what about that which we mentioned earlier from Sachem Lamed Beis, which is not a source we're going to be exploring today. Why? Because Tosfos says that's irrelevant. Why is it irrelevant? In that place, gabi trumas chametz dika'amar maritza lifnei kalbo, there where we say you can put it in front of your dog, lo mairi kishen itma. That's not talking about chametz tmeya. That's not talking about chametz truma tmeya. That's talking about a regular chametz truma. Right? Elamishum bir chametz. That's only because of bir chametz. Therefore, you can put it in front of your dog. But it has nothing to do with the tame. Once it would become tame, says Tosfos, it's a no-go. V'chein mashma b'tmur, and here's another sugya that we're going to see. D'chashiv la l'truma tmeya b'hadi hanistrafin. If you look in Tmura, in Meseches Tmura, there's a list of things that have to be burnt. And truma tmeya is right in there on the list. Uka amar hanistrafin lo yikbaru. And Tosfos quote that Gemara saying that in the Mishnah there it says, anything which should be burnt cannot even be buried. Now, what would Rashi say about burying Truma Tmeah? Certainly it's okay. He says you can give it to your dog, you can get rid of it in whatever way you want. Tosfos saying, no, no, no. We see from the Sugya in Tmura, we see from the Sugya in Shabbos, it's very, very clear that you may not dispose of Truma Tmeah in any way other than burning, make it a weekday, make it a Yontif, make it a Shabbos. They couldn't care the less. Yes?
Why did Rashi? I mean, Rashi didn't know Tmura?
That's exactly the whole shiur today, is figuring out this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos and how each of their shitos will fit in with sort of a number of the sugyas that are discussed here. We'll talk a little bit about Psachim. I know that tends to be where people look. Rashi, obviously from, you know, the way he's understanding Psachim, could even understand that Gemara on Psachim Lamed Beis to be referring to Truma Tmeah, which is Chametz. Right, Tosfos said that sugya is talking about regular Trumas Chametz, which is not Tamei. Rashi obviously could hold that it is Tamei, but let's take a look at what is it that the Machlokas might be about. Yes?
Is his Truma one of the things that Yirat Hayif to be Nevaeh?
I don't know.
My memory isn't that great.
Presumably with Truma, it would be for a Kohen, their own food.
Oh, the Kohen, right? Kohen's, not the Kohen's
Truma. I mean, okay. If it's Tmeah, then they're, you know, then you'd still need to get rid of it, for sure, for two reasons now.
All right,
but with it, but with the Kohen, I can't imagine that it wouldn't be considered his for Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzeh. If there were some, you know, Kachim that were completely not owned, I think that may be an exclusion in Psachim, which is possibly what you're referring to, but you know, if it's a Kohen that owns Truma, I can't see how that would not be included in his Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzeh worries.
So can you repeat the question between Rashi and Tosfos?
So the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is that Rashi seems to hold, based on what we saw last week in the Rashi that we reread, that there is an option of getting rid of Truma Tmeah in whatever fashion you wish. It doesn't need to be burnt only, like we see with Kachim.
And we're not talking about, we're just talking in general.
In general, a regular day, Tuesday afternoon, not Yom Tov.
We're not talking about Yom Tov.
Yom Tov, Rashi said, is prohibited.
Right.
You can't give it to your dog then. But again, if the whole discussion that Rashi is saying, you know, there are alternate ways to get rid of this Truma Tmeah, seems to imply that on a week, doesn't seem to apply. It's very clear that Rashi holds that on a weekday, that's something totally okay. Tosfos, on the other hand, in answering Rashi, and it seems to be actually because of what they disagree with Rashi about, Tosfos don't go for this Ach Sheveh L'Malacha business, and Tosfos say it's because of Torah, therefore they seem forced to say that Truma Tmeah can only be, again, destroyed by burning. And they bring a number of sugyas to support that. The two main sugyas that they bring as support, that Tosfos bring, are the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Truma, the Mishnah in Truma, really. So let's begin with source number one on our sheet, trying to take a look at the two sugyas that Tosfos mention as supports as to why you would only be able to destroy Truma Tmeah by burning. So source number one here, source Aleph. Is the Gemara in Shabbos, which Rav says, just like it's a mitzvah to burn Kachim Tmeim, so too it's a mitzvah to burn Truma Tmeah. Let's see it inside. The Mishnah tells us, in Madlikin B'Shem Asreif of B'Yom Tov, as we've been discussing, which is Shemen, which is Truma Tmeah, and this we've mentioned last week in Rashi, says the Gemara, and I'm cutting out bits and pieces of the Gemara here so I could fit this on one double-sided page, but my time, what's the reason for this? Lefisha ain't sarfin Kachim B'Yom Tov, because you can't burn Kachim B'Yom Tov. Okay, and Truma's, you know, again, akin to that. Now, b'yom tov hu de'asir, ha'bechol shapir dami. Now, the question is, what about burning shemen sreifa in general? Can I burn my, you know, truma tmeah on a weekday if it's going to be giving me some sort of benefit? As we said, shemen sreifa is for your candles. Is that allowed? Is it moster b'hana? The Gemara says, yes, that's totally fine. And the Gemara brings, you know, psukim later on to tell us why is it that it's lecha, that it's for you, therefore you may have benefit from it. But the Gemara says there, Amarav, Keshem shemitzvah lisrof ha-kadshim shenitmiu, kach mitzvah lisrof et ha-truma shenitmi. Just like it's a mitzvah to burn kadshim that became tame, so too it's a mitzvah to burn truma shenitmi. Now, according to Tosfos, the way we saw it in our sugya and Beitza, this is saying an absolute comparison. There's a mitzvah to burn kachim, and there's a mitzvah to burn truma. There is no other way of disposal other than this. Kishem, that is mitzvah to do this. Kach, it's a mitzvah to do this. Okay? Potentially, any other way that you would burn it would be not fulfilling this mitzvah. That's the way Tosfos simply seems to be understanding. You have a mitzvah to burn it. If you decide to throw it outside, you're not fulfilling your mitzvah of burning. Rashi, on the other hand, has a very interesting comment there in the Gemara. And this is going to be sort of how we start developing Rashi's Shita to be around Shas, really, to respond to challenges like these, and to say how Rashi and Beitza can suggest that such a thing would be permitted, you know, to give it to your dog on a weekday, or, you know, the discussion of giving it to your dog on Yom Tov. Says Rashi, mitzvah listrof esa truma shenitmes. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah to burn the truma. Didamya lekodesh. It's similar to holy, to kodshim, really. Ve'od, says Rashi, also mishum takala. What can happen is, says Rashi, if you leave truma tmeya hanging around and you don't burn it, what's going to happen? Somebody might come, they might eat it, they might drink it. Any sort of bad things can happen if you have these things hanging around, such as truma tmeya. Therefore, as Rashi, and we're going to emphasize the mishum takala for now, because that's what we're going to see Tosfos is going to quote there. And Rashi says, it's not about specifically burning it. We're saying, just like you got to get rid of kodshim really quickly, and you don't want to have those sitting around, so too, you want to get rid of your truma quickly. Now, does that imply in any way the only way to do so is by burning it? Of course not, Rashi would tell you. It's just about making sure you get rid of it quick enough so no one comes and accidentally errs and does something really bad that's an avera with this truma.
Well, see, it sounds like it's Drabanan.
There is a discussion of Drabanan. Deraisa, it most likely is Drabanan. I mean, certainly Drabanan, according to Rashi and Takala. Tosfos, as we'll see, makes mention of the Doraisa Durabanan discussion. I'm not going to focus so much on that in my attempt to. We'll get back to it a little bit later on, but not so much for now. But excellent point. So this is Rashi there. I left Tosfos there, actually, for the very end of the shiur in terms of trying to explain other things that we assembled first, because Tosfos there have some very interesting comments. Tosfos and Rashi are almost the same. And Tosfos and Rashi really hammer out this machlokes the way that we understood it. Meaning, at first, I saw this machlokes here, and then I looked there, and okay, I saw that Rashi, and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to explain the machlokes. But, you know, Tosfos and Tosfos and Rashi already do that for us. So let's see how they explain it. Source number 3. So he quotes Rashi, okay? Kach atam mitzuve, and source gimel, listrof esat truma, so too you're commanded to burn truma. Pirish Rashi, he quotes Rashi, mishum de lo leisi bali de takala, in order that you shouldn't come to some sort of, again, takala, stumbling block of sorts that you may end up doing some avera with it if it hangs around. Ulefum haitama, says Tosfos Rashi very clearly, according to this reasoning, nired delav daf kasreifa. It's not specifically burning as this method of disposal that you must do for your truma tmeya. Dehu adin im haya mifarer vizora laruach. Lets you crumble it up and throw it to the wind, like we know of for getting rid of chametz. O matil layam, or you'd throw it into the ocean or the lake or whatever it was. V'chein pirish Rashi v'per gimel de yom tov, and says Tosfos Rashi, hey! Say Tosfos Rashi, really. Hey! And if you even look in per gimel de yom tov, gabe shalu aleha v'alachala shenitmes, they asked about it in the chala shenitmes, which is our sogia. There you go. Rashi solves it there, and that's what he says directly. V'chein b'perek elo ovrin, gabe ha'ditnan lo yikra l'ashem ad shetei afeh. And so to another parak, we're not going to go into that. The point is, this is a wide-ranging Rashi's opinion to say that you can get rid of it in whatever way you want. It doesn't have to be specifically sreifa. Upirish lefisha enu yachol lesarfa v'lo litna lifnei kalbo biyomtov. And it's explained in back in our sugya in Beitza. Why? Because you're not able to burn it and not able to give it to your dog, to place it in front of your dog on Yom Tov, lefisha asr levara b'Yom Tov, because you can't destroy it on Yom Tov, as we said. Mashma, now here Tosfos Rashi takes issue with what Rashi had said, the same as Tosfos and our sugya takes issue with it. De'ilav mishum Yom Tov. It sounds like, if not for the fact that it was Yom Tov, hava yachal litna lifnei kalbo, you wouldn't be allowed to give it to your dog to eat. Tema, ask Tosfos Rashi. Matam yehiasr lifna lifnei kalbo b'yom tov. They go back for a second. They say, "Hey, what is the reason that you're not allowed to put it in front of your dog?" Again, Rashi gave his reason of achshave, which we discussed last week, and the gzeras hakasuv. Tosfos here, Tosfos and Rashi are echoing the kasha of Tosfos in our sugya to say, "What reason could you possibly come up with? What could be wrong with putting it in front of your dog?" And you know what they say? Bitzarech lomar lepeirusho. Tosas Rashi give an answer for Rashi, different than what Rashi said. Dichal inyane biur asiri gezera atusreifa. It's prohibited to do any type of destruction, as we said, but it's a gzera atusreifa that you may come to burn it. Okay, this was similar to what Tosas said last week. We did discuss this sheet a little bit. Mihu kasha. And now here we get to Tosas' shita. The amrinan b'sof meseches tmura gabei elu hanistrafin, that we say at the end of meseches tmura in those in the listing of those that must be burnt, not people but items and different kodesh items. The truma tmea b'sreifa, the truma tmea must be burnt. Uketani hasam, and we learned there, we said there that hanistrafim lo yikavru, anything which is supposed to be burnt cannot even be buried. Hilkach nira say Tosas arash the sreifa dafka. You do need to specifically have Sreifa here. The Yalfinan La Mikodesh, Tichsiv Bei Ba'ishi Sareif. Just as Kodshim need to be burnt in fire, we are learning Shruma Tmeya out of Kodshim here, and therefore you must burn it to a crisp in fire. No dogs, no throwing it into the wind. This is the Shita of the Balei HaTosfos in general, it seems to be, or at least the ones that we've seen, the Balei HaTosfos Arash and the Tosfos in our Sogya in Beitza. Now, let's take a look at Tmura. Here's where I made a little bit of a tweaking to the source sheet, so you're welcome to either take a new copy for a little bit or not. You can probably still make your way through it on the old source sheet, just the only difference is the Rashi in the next source. And I added on a little line at the end over here. So, Ve'elohin Hanisrafin, says source number Dalit. And the Mishnah of Tmura is very, very clear. This is a listing of what needs to be burnt. Chametz v'Pesach, any chametz on Pesach, Yisarev should be burnt. Utruma Tmea. And when it comes to Truma Tmeya, Orla, Kilei HaKerem, these things which Rashi deals with as to why they might all be considered needing to be burnt. In those cases, Eshe Darkan Lisrof, those things which the nature of it is to be burnt, meaning Truma Tmeya, Orla, and Kilei HaKerem, which are solid, Yisrof, Eshe Darkan Lihikaver, and those ones which should be buried, Yikaver, you should bury those. Umadlikin Bepasu V'Shem Enshel Truma, and as we learned in Shabbos, you can actually light a fire that you can benefit from using bread or shemen of truma, etc. I mean, it's weird talking about truma and tmura. I get a little confused. But anyways, at the end of the Mishnah, it tells us, and here's the added part, and which is what Tosfos quoted, so you can really follow along in Tosfos. In Tosfos Arash, in the previous letter, Kol hanikbarin lo yisrofu v'chol hanisrafin lo yikavru. Anything which is meant to be buried, which we said, there are certain things which are supposed to be buried, right in the original source sheet. We may have had the Rashi on that, I don't even remember anymore. right, Mashkin, Rashi says very clearly, anything which is liquid, that's what's supposed to be buried, solids should be burnt. So, says the end of the Mishnah, anything which is meant to be buried, you got to bury it. It can't be burnt. If it's supposed to be buried, it can't be burnt. And the flip case, which is, anything that's meant to be burnt, cannot be buried. And that is really where Tosfos say, hey Rashi, how are you going to get out of this one? Okay, and then we have Rabbi Yehuda, but that's not as relevant as we need. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda suggests that there's a possibility to burn things which can be buried, but the main point of Tosfos that they quote from this Mishnah Tmura is to say, Rashi, it's very clear. Truma Tmeya is listed on the burning list, and the Mishnah says, you have to burn it, you can't bury it. Now, this seems like a stranglehold. How's Rashi going to get out of this one? You have Mefarshim Mishnah saying, you have to burn Truma Tmeya. Right? And it also says, you can't do it in any other way. You cannot bury it.
You say you can't do it any other way.
Exactly. So that's really where we're going with this. All it says is you can't bury it. Now, Tosfos is saying, burying it means doing something other than burning. Rashi, on the other hand, and this is the line that I added, which I didn't have before for some reason, this final Rashi, Eis Shadarkan, and I'll read it aloud in source number 5, those which things are normally, burnt, cannot be buried. Says Orla v'kilei hakerem kai. First of all, Rashi says it's referring to Orla and kilei hakerem. Ochlin yisrifu umashkin yikavru. So first of all, Rashi is not even talking about truma tmeya. One way of getting out of it would be to read Rashi that way and say truma tmeya is on the burning list, but it's not included in this statement at the end of the Mishnah that anything. Any foods must be burnt and any liquids must be buried. That's one thing, and we'll see this actually come up later in a longer discussion, why there might be a difference here. But either way, kol hanistrafin lo yikavru, dilma asi inish, v'ashkach lehu v'achila. And Rashi says something fascinating here. Even if you were to argue that Rashi were including Truma Tmeya in this list, says Rashi, I'll tell you why you can't bury it. Burying has this very unfortunate side effect. Things that are buried can be unburied. And you know what? If you bury something, someone might stumble upon it and say, hey, Truma chocolate cake. I love Truma chocolate cake. Now, it's been buried underground. I don't know why the person's eating it. But as Rashi says, Dilma asi inish va'ashkach lehu ve'achil lehu. It's not going to be gotten rid of fast enough. People can stumble upon it and want to eat it. It's not so crazy to assume that, says Rashi. And with that being the case, you've really got two defenses for Rashi. Number one, Rashi is saying Truma Tmeya is not even included in this statement for whatever reason, which does sound a little bit weird. But number two, he's saying it's specifically burial that's an issue because people might eat it, which fits right in with Rashi's explanation back in Shabbos that what is the concern here? Takala. Takala meaning someone might come and do exactly this. This is Rashi's shita. So this is how Rashi would answer up Tmura.
Can somebody grab it from the dog?
Can't somebody grab it from the dog?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe you have a dog. I don't have a dog, and personally, if I saw a dog eating something, I wouldn't go up to the dog and grab it.
You're judging things by modern times. In those days,
yeah,
people were starving.
I mean, the assumption, as we'll see in later sources, seems to be...
People can pull things out of the fire, too. I think what he's saying, once you've done what you're supposed to do, which is either burn it or give the dog, it is no longer available for consumption, whereas if you bury it in the ground, even if after you bury it, it might still be available.
Yeah, but it's a lot harder to identify something that's been buried in the ground than see it.
It depends how much there is. And
mash when they used to bury the Koreans, right. They used to bury the cabbage and something.
Yeah,
well, I always love the mash, but I mean, you would normally put things in the ground to keep it warm.
Right.
So,
right.
That's an excellent point.
Or refrigerate it also. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was common for them to bury things.
Yeah, and I think that this would be a good out for Rashi either way. I don't know why both are necessary, truthfully. But the point is that the concern is still one of takala, and not one of having to make it absolutely the same as kachim tmeim, and therefore Rashi would still think that this is allowed. Now, at this point, I'm looking at the time that we have. I'm not going to go through the entire Maaser Sheni discussion. I'm just going to jump straight to the Igros Moshe. I kind of expected this. I did leave it here for you to learn. It's very, very complicated, these two Mishnayos and Maaser Sheni. That's why I gave you the Bartanura with them, in case you want to learn them at some point. Seeing if what Rav Moshe says is actually going on here. But we're going to take Rav Moshe's word for it for now. I don't think that's absolute, though. I think there are many other ways to learn this Mishnah, as Rav Moshe himself even learns a little bit. But Rav Moshe has a very interesting point to make in Tosfos. And I'll let him introduce it for you, rather than me introducing it to you. Says Rav Moshe, V'lachein tzarech lomar davar chadash. I need to tell you something new, a new chiddush. D'hamatzinu mishna mefureshes, peperek beis mima'aser sheni mishna dalad. We found a clear mishna, ma'aser sheni, peperek beis mishna dalad, shemutar leha'achil karshinei trumashin nitmi'u, that it is permitted to feed Karshine Trumashinitmu, so what karshinim are exactly? There's some sort of weird sort of vegetable that's not really edible for people. Maybe at some point some people might eat
it.
But it's not, yeah, it's generally animal food. It's a type of animal food, is what it really is. And as Rav Moshe says, based on his interpretation of the Mishnah, it is permitted to feed these karshinim of Trumatmeya to an animal. Shirova mefarshim pirshu leinyan l'hacha behema, as most mefarshim say, that means to feed it to an animal. So we're dealing with truma tmea, which can be fed to an animal. This is obviously going to be a big issue with Tosfos if you're going to understand the Mishnah as saying that. Levad harash notes Rav Moshe, and this is quite funny, Shapira shemutzer af la'adam, who explained that even a person can eat truma tmea karshinin, presumably because they're not so much, real food. V'im kein eno shayach lekana, it has nothing to do with this, aval shitaso tamua. Just by the way, guys, that doesn't mean it's very hard to understand, but we're not going to focus on that. We're not going to get, bogged down in Maaser Sheni. The point is, says Rav Moshe, it's very, very clear that from this Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, Truma Shenitma can sometimes be eaten by an animal. Now that's going to be a big problem for Tosfos. Yumkin Kasha ala Tosfos. Shesavri she'asr lahachil Truma Tmeya lebehema. They hold Beshita that you cannot feed Truma Tmeya to an animal. How are they going to get around this? V'lachein amina, therefore I will say, Divadai, certainly, Lekule Alma Leka Bitruma Esrachilas Toma Levehema. Everybody agrees, says Rav Moshe. Very strong, and at first sounds quite crazy, sweeping statement to say, everybody agrees that there's nothing wrong with an animal eating Truma Temea. Okay. Vilachain, Bikarshinin, Chederech, Lachilam Levehema. And therefore, for these karshina, which you normally feed to a behema when it is tahor, ein shayach lasar milachilan kishehin tmein. So he says asfara. He says, if you're feeding these karshinin when the truma is tahora, or in general when any food is tahor, so too you can feed it to your animal when it's tame. Okay, this is asfara to open. And he says, everybody agrees with this halacha, there's technically nothing wrong with feeding this to an animal. Umi meila mutter, gam letaman b'yadayim. And now he gets off into something else, which is going to be important. He says, and therefore it's permitted even just to be metami them on purpose. Kevan shalom nifsidu v'lo nishtanu klum b'mashenitmu mipnei mikifi shehayu b'taharasan. He says, there's nothing different, nothing worse. Lo nishtanu klum, they haven't changed at all from what in this that you have made them tame, mikefisha yubitarasan, because they were the same before. Before you were going to give them to your animal, now you're still going to give them to your animal. Mishum di isr letame hatruma, because the whole concept of something that's usr to, in general, make truma impure, hum mikra di mishmeres terumosai, is from the pasuk of mishmeres terumosai. Kereiza bebecharos daf lamedalid, as we learned the becharos daf lamedalid, shehu iser gam al kol inyane hefsedei truma, which is an iser specifically about destroying or ruining truma. Im kein mistaber, says Rav Moshe, if so, it makes sense, shekol iser hatuma, hu machmas shemafsido bazeh. It's the whole iser of being mitame truma is to ruin it. Shenasra hatruma be. Hatuma la'achilasa adam she'amdalazeh. Because normally, says Rav Moshe, truma before can be eaten by people. Once you make it tameh, it can no longer be eaten by people. Therefore, you've ruined it. And you've been over on Mishmeres Trumosai. But if it's not going to change in status from before and afterwards, as he said, is the logical way to explain this this Karshine Truma Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni. So then you know what? There's nothing wrong. V'lachin b'karshinin she'af b'taharasan hin omdim rak l'behema. And for karshinin, which even when they're not tameh, are only good for an animal, shelo nasru la b'tuma, and they are not prohibited to it once it becomes tameh, v'lo yafsidim klum rashi l'taman, you would be allowed to be metameh them. Now he talks about the Rambam sheet on this, then he talks about Rashi's sheet on this, that there is an isra of b'chol kodesh lo siga, which means that a tame person may not touch truma, and there is an iser, and we'll skip to the three dots where we begin. Vilachain. Okay, this is five lines up from the bottom, still in Rav Moshe, still in source number 8. Vilachain me achar she'af, achar she'nitmu ha'karshinin. And therefore, since, even after these karshinin become tame, yachal la'asos behu, you may do with them, kemo she'haya ose'im hayu tehorin, the same thing that you would be doing if they are tahor, shehu leha'achilan lebehema, which would be to feed them to an animal, lo na'aseh alayhu din sreifa klal. These will not have any reason to be burnt at all. Meaning the burning comes along, says Rav Moshe, when you change a purpose from what it was to what it will be. And this is according to Tosfos. However, aval betruma sheru'uya la'adam kishehi tahora, but for regular truma, which is fitting to be eaten by a person when it's tahor, she'asr la'achil la'behema, which you can't give to a behema, because it's truma to begin with. Kishihi tehora. Kimeforish betosus baba metzia dafzadi uverash perikidal mitrumas mishnah tes. Savri hatosvas tosvas hold. Digam acharesh nitma asr lahachil behema. They hold there, once it's become tame, you cannot give it to a behema. Af she'ata ina ru'uya la'adam. Even though now it is no longer fitting for a person. Why? Kevan derak mitzad ha'isr ina ru'uya. Because it's only because of the fact that someone tummy touched this truma that is no longer fitting for a person. Aval be'etzem hiru'uya la'adam, says Rav Moshe. It really, the food itself, as truma, is still fitting for a person to eat. What made it not allowed? The fact that someone made it become tummy. So it still doesn't leave that geder of being not allowed for an animal to eat. And again, this is a bit sort of hard to follow, lamdishli, but it stays in its status, its physical status, Rav Moshe would say, of not being allowed to an animal because it's truma. But on the other hand, there is also a ruling that would say that you now have to burn it. There's a din sreifa, as he continues in this last line. So he says that when it comes to regular truma, you can't feed it to an animal before, and you can't then feed it to an animal afterwards, because it's really still people food. That's the way he would say it.
His opening line when he said, everyone agrees that you could feed to an animal, is that only referring to this one specific item?
In terms of tum'ah. So he's saying, when Tosfos says that you can't feed truma tmeya to animals, it's not a rule that has to do with the tum'ah aspect. It's not, he's simply saying that even Tosfos would agree, in a case where you can originally feed it to an animal, you can still feed it to an animal afterwards. Tosfos is simply saying that just because truma becomes tmeya, that doesn't allow it to be now fed to an animal.
Yeah, he's saying that.
And the din sreifa applies only when you've ruined it from human consumption. And that din sreifa will still not allow you to feed it to an animal.
So you have animal, person, it's not right. An animal also, right?
You can never have something that's originally not fit for an animal, then later on being fit for an animal, according to Rav Moshe's interpretation of Tosfos. Once it's fit for an animal, it never leaves that, even if it becomes tame.
Even if it's truma
kashin. Well, correct, because those are fitting for an animal.
Yes, so it's
truma kashin. I'm just trying to get my head around it. I mean, on the Mishnah, this item that we're talking about is something that you're saying is not fit for a human, but the way that's learned is b'shadat chak, it is fit for a human to
eat it. Yes,
right?
Yes. So, this is exactly Rav Moshe's limud, yes.
Okay, so at one point, we're saying it's fit for a human and an animal simultaneously.
But it's not really fit for a human,
right.
They would argue. They would say it's really animal food. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, technically, we could eat hay.
Right.
Right? So that's sort of where we're at with this. And therefore, this is Rav Moshe's interpretation of Tosfos in a bit of a more lamdish way. Now, this opens up a couple of big issues within Tosfos that we have to think about. Number one, what would Rav Moshe say about something else like stam being Zora LaRuach? Just throwing it into the wind, according to Tosfos. If he's really truly understanding that it's just that it's remaining aser to be, you know, given to an animal like before, does that apply to every single case of disposal for truma? I would guess so. I mean, I don't know what you're allowed to do with truma in the first place, in terms of disposal. And what Tosfos... So, for example, if I just have a piece of truma that's sitting around in my house, what am I allowed to do with that? If I can't feed it to my animals, like Tosfos say, what can I do with it other than eat it? Anything?
Take it to the yam.
You can take it to the yam.
I'm not saying, I don't know what Tosfos would say. I'm saying based on what he's saying now, that would be physically possible.
Well, what do we do today? You just can't, you can't throw it out to be in a way that's mezalzo.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, so the way I understood, Rav Moshe, and this requires further yin on my part, but the way I understood Rav Moshe then is you're potentially dealing with, it's just the only reason why you can't give it to the animal is an issue of zilzal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's what it
sounds like he's saying.
Yeah.
No, but he just said the special inyan, din sreifa.
Right, so the question is, so this was the next question that I was going to go into, is what's his din sreifa? Would he say that the din sreifa is you have to specifically burn it according to Tosfos? Because if then, you go right back in your circle to his opening statement where he says, obviously Tosfos don't agree that you can't give something. So it gets kind of circular. If you're going to say that din sreifa limits it only to burning...
Well, until he said that, I would have said it's a knas more than anything else, and therefore you can destroy it in any fashion that you want. But then he says a special din of sreifa.
Right, so that's why I was sort of unclear with how to understand this. I first understood it one way, then I understood it a second way, then I understood it sort of half back to the first way. I'm not quite sure exactly what Rav Moshe is saying here, but the crux of the matter is... Yeah,
that
go ahead.
Would work with Tosfot in the sense that sreifa may not just be sreifa. Anything mm-hmm. else requires tircha. So if you have to take what you have and throw it in the wind, that's mm-hmm. tircha. If you have to take what you have and take it to the yam, that's tircha. Mm-hmm. The only one that wasn't really tircha is giving it to the dogs, which...
But what about weekdays? There are whole discussion of what you can do on a regular day. This is not what we have to answer up for Tosfos. And if you're going to tell me that it's, you know, totally fine to throw your regular truma into the river, then Tosfos will be, according to him, not really work. Tosfos specifically argue on the fact that you can be Zara LaRuach or Mati LaYam. So I'm not sure how that would work. On the other hand, if he's coming to say it's a din sreifa, so what happened to his opening statement of saying there's nothing wrong with the animal eating truma tmeya? And again, sort of how do you understand that this case is different? Well, you say there's no din sreifa here in this case. That's how he would answer it.
It's a paradox. So.
It seems to be a bit of a paradox. You could perhaps argue that he's really going with this din sreifa, saying the din sreifa only applies in a case where it's originally people food and ends up not being people food due to the fact that it's tummy. In which case, the case of Karshinin is not that way, but that's, you know, as he says, a big chiddush of his own.
But sreifa has, but if you do it by sreifa, you know, you're getting some hana on it. In theory, I guess you're using it either for heating or for some other purpose where you're getting hana. If you're burying it, you're throwing it in the sea, you're not, there's no hana in that.
That's okay.
It's almost like it's, yeah, but no, it is okay, but almost like it's more of a chumrah even.
Okay, I mean, it depends on what the chumrah is. If the chumrah is that you want to make it more similar to kachim, which say ba'ichi saref, then the chumrah is to burn them, even if you can get hana from it, which is mutter.
Yeah,
because
you can't
right.
You can get hana from it.
Right. Rav Moshe also elaborates on Rashi. He mentioned that there would be an issue, according to Rashi, you know, in all cases of making something tameh, which would mean that he'd need a different Rashi, and a different explanation for Rashi's interpretation of the Mishnah, which would work quite well, but I don't want to get into that. I want to stick to Tosfos. However you may understand this Rav Moshe, is that, you know, when Truma does become, as we said, we said one possibility is this Din Sreifa, that only when it is becoming pasul from human eatability, I guess, then it has this Din Sreifa, which may only extend to burning and not to any other method of disposal. Or to say that again, as certainly other poskim write this as well, that when truma does indeed become tame, it can technically be disposed of in any honorable way, but it can't be degraded in any way at that point either. So anything degrading, like giving it to an animal, which was sort of our original way of reading Rav Moshe, and again, I'm sort of on the fence between the two readings, is that either of these, perhaps burial would be included in this, meaning that wouldn't be something which would be considered dishonorable. And again, that's what we were sort of judging on. I'm not quite sure where to go with Rav Moshe. But that approach...
Does anybody hold by kachim that you can get rid of it other than through burning?
So we're going to discuss that at the end. Okay. I don't do so much talk on this. I conjecture on this. But I don't have so many sources to discuss it. I don't believe that would be the case, though. It's very hard for me to understand that. But we will have someone who says in Chitas Rashi that, yes, that's absolutely the case. Which is quite shocking to me. Okay. There is an issue, though. Specifically with our understanding that it's about degrading it, we're going to run into a problem for Tosfos. First of all, because we'll have... even if we were to say that being Mata Leyam was degrading, and even if we were going to say that being Zor LaRuach was degrading, we actually have a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara asks in Pesachim, in source number 9, Maishna Shemen, what's the difference between Shemen, Dirai Lahadlik, which shemen of Truma Tmea you can use to burn with, Yayinami. Yayin also. You can also do something with Truma Tmea wine. Ra'oi le'ziluf. You can do ziluf. Anybody know what ziluf is? Ziluf means basically to sprinkle it around your house. You know, those little scent things you can put in your bathroom? So this is what they used to do with the wine. Sprinkle it on the floor, and your house would smell nice. Vechitema ziluf lav milsahi, and if you're going to tell me ziluf is, nah, that's degrading, it's not so important. Va'amra Shmuel mishum Revichia. Shmuel says name Revichia. Shosin milug bisela, umizelfin milug bishtayin. Okay? It's actually twice the price to buy your special sprinkling wine. Sprinkling wine is very expensive. It's a very serious and useful and honorable thing to be doing with wine. So answers the Gemara, I'll tell you why it didn't mention the possibility of yayin for ziluf of Truma Tmea. Because it's bechadash, it's new wine. New wine you can't do ziluf with. It has to be a nice old-aged wine. Asks the Gemara, v'hara'u liyashno? Ah, but you can just let it sit. So says the Gemara, asi beili deik takala. You'll end up, again, possibly, you know, having this stuff hanging around for so much time. So ask the Gemara, 1 second, that's not fair. Sheminami, asi beili deik takala. What about the oil? The oil you might accidentally, kamli deik takala, that someone might, again, drink it or use it in their food or whatever. So, diramile biklimos, you put it in a gross vessel. This is what we're going to do for shemen. The Gemara retorts back again. Well, yayinami, Ramile Bikli Ma'us. So why don't you do that with the wine then that you're going to be Mizalif? Leziluf Kaba'ile, says the Gemara. Come on, Bikli Ma'us, Ramile. You can't put it in a gross thing. You're supposed to be using it to make your house nice and fragrant. So if we're going to say that it's about what's honorable and what's allowed, we have Mefurash Gemara here saying that for wine, something else in Truma, there is an appropriate method of disposal. What will Tosfos answer to this? So if you're dealing with, if you're dealing with Rav Moshe saying that it's a din sreifa and that din only comes upon it, then you can answer up this Gemara. Then you don't have to worry about this case. Sorry, again. So this Gemara is a question because we see from here that there is an appropriate method of disposal for wine, which is Truma Tmeya.
Right.
And that seems to be, Tosfos would have to admit to this. What's Tosfos going to do with this?
What's the appropriate method that they say by wine?
Well, Tosfos say that you always have to burn it, finished, period.
Right, okay.
So there's nothing to discuss.
Right.
Now, if you're understanding Rav Moshe's interpretation of Tosfos, though, perhaps you may be able to mimash of it. We have two interpretations. The first interpretation was that it's a din sreifa, and that precludes us from doing anything else, okay? Which would be able to answer this by saying, yes, you still can't be mezalif because it has a din sreifa. And it's just talking, how you'd explain the Gemara exactly, you still may need to deal with it, as we will deal with it in Tosfos, and as Tosfos deals with it. On the other hand, if it's about dishonorable use, there's very little to answer. Here are a couple of, one argument that you could make to defend our Tosfos and Beitz and Tosfos Arash, who don't ask this Gemara as a question, unlike Tosfos and Shabbos, who do, is to say that perhaps it considers sprinkling wine around your house something like burial. Okay? And as we'll see, they could learn, as we learned in Temura, that liquids would be buried. Right? That's what the Mishnah in Temura said, that liquids sometimes could be buried. We'll get on to that. I do want to focus on where Tosfos asked this question, though. These are all conjectures until now, and some of them...
What do you mean by considered burial? If it's considered burial, then it should be permitted.
Yes.
Okay.
And as we're going to see, that's something that Tosfos may offer here. So Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and with this we're going to end Tosfos and try to quickly get a little bit of Rashi in before the end in this Minchas Yitzchak. If you skip down, here's where Tosfos talks about Midrabanan, Inami Midoraisa, Midikri Kodesh. That's getting back to your Doraisa Drabanan question. Tosfos offers two possibilities here, either it's Drabanan or it's Doraisa. Now Tosfos asks, really, two lines up from the bottom, three lines up from the bottom, V'im Tomar, smack in the middle. Right after he talks about Derabanan Doraisa. Da'amar b'sof perakama d'psachim gabi truma tmea sheteas ziluf. Ha'tnan b'tmura haray likvura kvura. He says, one second. We say that it needs to be buried. Perish kagon mashkin. And yet the Gemara there says that you can use it for ziluf. I mean, Tosfos is not considered ziluf a burial. Again, it could be other versions of Tosfos which don't ask this question may consider it to be a burial, because what are you essentially doing? You're taking it and throwing it on the floor. It may be a bit of a stretch, but the point is Tosfos here is not willing to go with it. B'yish Lomar says Tosfos, Tilo koi yelaha or lavikili hakerim, velo atruma desharia bahana, says Tosfos, that in Truma, where it says that anything that needs to be buried should be buried, is not talking about Truma Tmeya. For liquids, you know what? For liquid Truma, says the Tosfos, you can do whatever on earth you want with it. You can take it, you can get rid of it in whatever ways you want. Exactly like Rashi there said, that it's only going on Arla and Kilei HaKerem. I was going to talk a little bit more about this. You have to find some reason to be mechalik between liquids and solids, especially since if you look at the Mishnah and Temura back in source number 4, on Dalid, it says, Chametz v'Pesach Yisarif, our first group is Chametz on Pesach, U'truma t'mea v'arla v'Kilei HaKerem, Ishtadarkan l'Israf Yisrof, Ishtadarkan l'Hikaver Yikaver. They're all grouped together. So why you can skip Truma Tmeya out? Well, the Sfara given is the one given by Tosfos. It's very simple. Say Tosfos, right over here. Truma, as we see from the Gemara in Shabbos, which we didn't quote, is Mutter Bahana'a from the Pasuk of Lecha. Therefore, it makes sense to differentiate between that and the other ones there. And when it comes to liquid Truma, Tosfos will agree you can do what you want with it. So you can take your liquid Truma and put it in your dog bowl and your dog can eat it. Because you know what? It doesn't seem to be included in there. It doesn't seem to be a raya l'kfura. You need to bury it because it doesn't apply to Truma, because you know what? We can't get out of this Gemara of Ziluf. And that's pretty much the straightest example in Tosfos, is going to come out that at least this version of Tosfos holds that with liquids you can do it, but not with solids, and that, however, our Tosfos and Beitza and Tosfos Rosh needs some sort of other answer. Whether you can answer it up with some lumdas from Rav Moshe, and what the Din Sreifa is, and how it applies, and what it was allowed to be done with before and afterwards, I leave that to you. Or if you can answer it on a simpler level, that maybe you can consider it like kvura. I don't know why I said sreifa. Sprinkling one on your floor is not like sreifa, it's like kvura. I probably missaid that. And if that's an argument that perhaps could be made for those shitas. Now let's quickly go into Rashi. I'm going to have to summarize outside from here, because I don't want to keep you too over time. Rashi, until now, has been very straightforward and very simple. Anybody want to refresh our memory on what Rashi holds?
You can keep true with me to it all.
Why? Because what's the concern? Why do we have to get rid of it?
Takala.
Rashi says takala, and we're all happy with that. The problem is, notes the Minchas Yitzchak, and the Minchas Yitzchak first goes through in his first section here, in source Chaf, which is really source 11. That's just how I decided to number it this time. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei Vav, you know, going through the Aleph Beis, as opposed to Yod Aleph Yod Beis Yod Gimel, which we're more familiar with. But anyways, the first thing he does, he plugs it into various different you know, places in Shas, which we did. And then he says, if you skip down 6 lines down. Sorry, 7 lines down. Avot Tzarech Iyun. The line that starts with Halevi. Avot Tzarech Iyun. It's a little bit below that. The next line. Avot Tzarech Iyun. Dehare Rashi Sham. Hevi Sham b'Shabbes mikodem hatam didam yalakodesh. 1 second. Tosfos until now we've been understanding as saying, why is it that you have to burn it? Because it's similar to Kodesh. Tosfos say that themselves. He says, 1 sec. Turn your page back over, says the Minchas Yitzchak, and look back at source number 2. What are Rashi's first 2 words? Didam yalakodesh. Says Minchas Yitzchak, how did everybody forget about that? Whoa. Ve'achar kach kasa ve'od mishum takala. And he writes, ve'od. Now, until now, what did we see based on Tosfos? Tosfos only quotes the reason of Takala. And how did I understand it? Only the reason of Takala. But he says, you can't forget about the Rashi opens like that. And you know what he says? V'hamashmaus mizeh, the understanding of this, detam didam yalakodesh ha'ikar. In fact, he would say the main reason that Rashi holds up is dam yalakodesh. V'gammi delokasav inami, and for the fact that he doesn't write inami, he writes v'od mishum Takala. Nired deritzon alomar ditarvayu isnehu ba. Both of these are concerns that exist simultaneously in it. And he goes on to say, as I said, we're going to do this pretty much outside, based on a chasam sofer, to say that Rashi holds shockingly, even in the dion of damya lekodesh, that is similar to kodshim, it would be completely okay to give it to your dog, even from that aspect. Meaning the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos is not the reason for why you have to, you know, get rid of your Truma Tmeya, but rather within the whole reason of Damya Lakodesh, where we're saying it's compared to Kodshim Tmeyim, within that Rashi holds, you can get use any method of disposal, and Tosfos hold that you can only do it by burning.
Right.
Now, this is quite problematic.
It's like a Durabanan type of thing. In other words,
even if it's a Durabanan, you're comparing it to Kodshim. Can you...
Damya Lakodesh, we can't do it. So the Rabbanan may, because the Truma is a little bit like coaching, the Rabbanan made it that you have to burn it any way you can. Right?
But why, first of all, why? That's the reason of Takala, frankly speaking. The reason of Takala is the Rabbanan made it that you can burn it any way you can. You don't bring in Dam Yalakodesh if you're not trying to say it's compared in some way.
Right.
You maybe could argue that, and I'll bring that up. That's really the only way you have to go. But the bigger problem with him is he seems to be saying, yeah, you know, this is not an issue at all. He doesn't raise this issue. And the bigger issue, which he brings from Psachim Pei Gimel Amud Beis, which is in his last, he has a parenthesis that goes pretty much to the end, 5 lines up from the bottom. Adikasha alzeh, mipsachim pei, which should say Pei Beis Amud Beis Sham, damar leinin kachim, emalo, said Tibai Sreifa. There's a back and forth in the Gemara there. We don't want to go through the whole thing, but he says, let it not need Sreifa, v'tisagile b'kvura, and let it just be buried. Dishma mina disreifa davka, u'kvura lo nechshav l'sreifa. And kvura won't be considered Sreifa. Yeshlamar, the high time appears Rashi, Sham Rashi there explains, meaning the Gemara had a question, maybe you can get away with burying this type of kodshim rather than simply burning them. That was the Gemara's question there. And the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, no, you have to burn them. But says Rashi there, why would you think Kvura? Says Rashi, Kvura, ligonza min ha'ayin, to hide it away, shelo yochaluhu kalavim ayin sham. says, because you're scared that dogs might eat it. Now, he completely misses this. And he says, De'im haya kvura mamish, she'yismak mekvichala min ha'olam havik estreifa. He says, but if it was a real kvura, he's medayek, where it couldn't be found by dogs, and maybe people, then it would be good. And you know what he says? And he says, V'im kein, mikol shekein, achil al chalev, dinichla min ha'olam tekef, tavi bichlal streifa. For sure, having eaten by a dog, which gets rid of it immediately, would be streifa. Now,
he's talking about kachim here. Right?
Yes! He seems to be talking about kachim. This is shocking. I don't know how he could say that about kachim. Mikol shekein, v'kol shekein, that Rashi there that he quotes, says we're worried that dogs might dig it up from underground and eat it. So this is astonishing. I don't know how he missed that. And I really think the only thing to say, that he is mefurish a Rashi on the place saying you're worried that dogs might eat it. How could you possibly choose that as your reason for a gzera? If you're saying that that's a lechatchila way of getting rid of it. So I'm astonished by this. I read it. I had to read it again to make sure he wasn't asking that kasha.
Well, which is a dog can eat it, so what do you care if he digs it up and eats?
Exactly. Right? Rashi, if he's really understanding Rashi to say that dogs eating it is the same as Sreifa, and this is just because it's haphazardly buried, good, the dog should come and eat it.
Right.
That's not the example you give. The only way to say would be a super sort of, you know, lav dafka approach that, you know, he meant dogs can dig it up and people can eat it and... But that is very fair. You don't specifically choose the example of dogs eating it when that's the paradigm of what's mutter. Right? Quite shocking. And in fact, Rav Moshe says it straight out that he, you know, the simple logic to disagree with this.
Where?
So in source number Lamed, the Igros Moshe, the last source on the page. He says, Rashi on Beitza Chafzayin, in our Mishnah, Dibur Maskel Chala, that's all we read, Di'af She'ar Bi'urin Havei Kestreifa, that all other types of, you know, destruction is like streifa. Udafka betruma is specifically like truma, and he says ukepirish basra shalo b'shabes daf chavei, like his second explanation in Rashi. Meaning, says Rav Moshe, you know what? There is no way in the world to square it. Though that Rashi and the other Rashis all around Shas that say you can get rid of it in that way simply follows the second explanation in Rashi, the one which Tosfos quoted, the one which he quotes, right? Avalo bekodesh diha beferish kasa b'shabes ferish rishon betam she'amar rav. But in the first explanation that he wrote in Shabbos, which we read, "B'tam shamar Rav shemitzvah lisraf as a truma." What was the reason that Rav said it's a mitzvah of a truma? Shenitzmes, which became tame, did dam yalekodesh shel tam ze have a dafka b'sreifa. And I think that's the logical way to go. On the one hand, you have this issue that Rav Moshe is ignoring Rashi's first words, and he's saying it's two different terutzim. Rashi can't really be following that. He throws it out, right? On the other hand, the Minchas Yitzchak's read makes a whole lot more lot of sense to say ve'od. Means veod. It doesn't mean inami, and it certainly doesn't mean reject the first reason. But if we follow the Minchas Yitzchak's logic, we're going to end up saying that kachim can be gotten rid of in any way according to Rashi, which is patently false from Rashi himself in the source that he quotes. So we're really in a bit of a quandary here. And we're going to be forced to say that Damiel HaHektish, as you did, Doctor, means some way of destruction. Now, why would that be? Why is it that Rashi would say Damiel Hektish vias Takala? Takala means get rid of it in some way. Damiel Hektish, you know, that would seem to sound like you should actually be burning it. And that's what Rav Moshe says. Like, that makes sense. So, I don't...
Damiel Hektish, you have to get rid of it. In other words, there's a... Why can't you just let it hang?
You have to get rid of... That's Takala! Well, that's Takala!
That's what you have
so to do. So the word would be different.
Right?
In other words, what he's saying, it should say the Damiel Hektish... then, therefore, you should. Not two separate. Therefore,
right.
You should.
The point is, Rashi could accomplish the same thing as saying getting rid of it in any way by just saying takala. Why does he add in dam yalekachim? And that's very, very tough. One possibility, one slight possibility, is that because in the Gemara there, which I didn't bring all of it, and I apologize for this, it does specifically say that truma, tmeya, is mutter bahana. And if we look back to Tosfos, in Tosfos' far, why did Tosfos say it was excluded from the Mishnah in Temura, for the liquids at least? Is because why? It's mutter bahana. So perhaps the Sfara to be Mechale could be as follows. Rashi wants to say it's dummy to Kachim. It is compared to Kachim. But it's also mutter bahana. And if we're just going to say you have to burn it and get rid of its ashes, that's not really so comparable to Mutter Bahana. From the fact that this very sugya in Shabbos, where Rashi's commenting, says it's Mutter Bahana, perhaps that would be the reason to be Mechalek and to say, even though it says Dam Yalekachim, it's not meaning specifically burning. Why? because this has a special level above Kachim Tmeim, Truma Tmeim is Mutzer Bahana. And if that's the case, it offers us a number of different opportunities as to how we want to get rid of it. You want to get rid of it this way, you don't take. Now, it's still similar to Kachim. It's still a mitzvah to do so.
But that makes sense for giving it to your dog, but it doesn't make sense throwing it in the wind or throwing it.
But we're just saying we can't control it. It's still a mitzvah. We want to learn out that it is a mitzvah, just like burning kachim, but we can't say that it's burning. Because it's mutter b'hanah, at the end of the day, you have a certain bilus over it. That maybe would be as far to, again, sort of explain why damiel hektish could mean that, but I would rather leave off with tzarach ian for this, and we'll stop at exactly 1 hour.